Our gospel lesson today begins with Jesus doing something that was somewhat out of the ordinary. He left Israel's borders and entered into Gentile territory. He went north to the city of Tyre. Now, that wasn't necessarily unheard of or illegal, but usually Jewish people did not have anything to do with Gentiles, and that included going into their territory or crossing through their territory. So often they didn't go unless they had to. But Jesus didn't have to on this day. So why did he go into Gentile territory to Tyre? Well, the answer to me seems to be found in the events leading up to our lesson today. So let's backtrack just a little bit. In Mark chapter 6, we're told that Jesus had been going from village to village teaching and healing people. And word about him spread rather quickly throughout the small villages. I mean, think about how fast word goes through our small community. You know, Bob and Mary buy a new car, and before they even pulls into their driveway, many people already know what color it is. And that's not an indictment against small towns. It's just the reality. We know each other. Word spreads fast. I mean, think about if someone was miraculously healing people in Muncie. How fast would that spread throughout our town? The word about Jesus spread fast and far. And in chapter 6:14, we're told that even King Herod in Jerusalem had heard about what Jesus had been doing. So a lot of people are starting to they're seeking Jesus out. They're crowding around him. And some believe he's the Messiah. Others, they're hoping he's the Messiah. Some are just there because they're praying against all odds that Jesus can do what he claims he can do and that he can heal people. Some people are just skeptical. And they want to see what all the fuss is about. So many gathered, and it's getting late. And having compassion on them, Jesus feeds over 5,000 people. Now, he's been healing people and teaching since morning. The sun is now setting, and he's calling it a day. He tells his disciples to take the boat and go across the Sea of Galilee, and he would catch up with them later. He just needed to be alone a little bit. Now, he said he would meet up with them later, but they had no way of knowing it was going to be in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. But there Jesus is, just walking easily through those rough crashing waves. He gets to the boat, he gets in, he calms the sea. And they continue to the other side of the sea. They land in Gennesaret, and he is immediately accosted by a man that is filled with a legion, 1,000 demons. Jesus then deals with him and excises the demons. But the very next day, the Pharisees, having heard of this, send their people out to investigate. So Jesus now has to deal with all their questions as well as healing all the people. He then walks 30 miles north to Tyre. That's a good day's walk. And Tyre was north of Israel and along the Mediterranean Sea. And that's where he is. And when he gets there, he goes into a woman's house and he says, don't let anyone know I'm here. Okay? So it seems that Jesus went to Tyre because he just wanted to be alone. He wanted a break. He wanted some peace and quiet. And so he goes somewhere where no one knows him, and he goes somewhere where he knows most of the Jewish people weren't going to follow him. Into Gentile territory. But his peace is short-lived because there is a woman in the town who hears about these miracles of Jesus. And you can be sure she heard about Jesus excising the demons of the man in Gennesaret. And so she starts asking, where is this man? Please tell me. And she finally tracks him down to a house and the door opens and she throws herself at his feet and she begins to beg. Lord, please, she says, heal my daughter and cast out the demon. Now this woman is a pagan Gentile. Matthew says she's a Canaanite woman from Syrophoenicia. Phoenicia was located in modern-day Lebanon. But at that time, it was controlled by Syria, so it was known as Syrophoenicia. And this woman begs Jesus to heal her daughter of this demon possession. And Jesus says, "Let the children be fed first. It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." The disciples hearing that must have been like, "Oh, he's really giving it to her, putting her in her place." But does this sound like Jesus? I mean, was he really that tired, that worn out and burnt out that he just, when this woman begs him for a healing, he just unloads on her and you know, resorts to insults? I mean, of everything we know about Jesus and what he stands for, calling a woman a dog and insulting her just doesn't fit his profile, does it? And so he says, "Is it right to let the children, or to give the children's bread to the dogs first?" And she says, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Oh, that's a pretty good comeback, isn't it? So what's going on here? Are these two really going to do this? Are they going to be into yo mama jokes here next? Is it just going to be an insult? No, because Jesus is not insulting her. Jesus was a master at using metaphors and allegories to teach, and that's what he's doing here. And thank goodness this woman understood what he was doing. So let's unpack this little conversation that we've heard so far. Jesus said, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." The children in this allegory are the people of Israel. They're the Jewish people. And the bread is the giving life, Jesus. It's salvation. The dogs then are the Gentile people. And in Romans 1:16, Paul reminded the Gentile Romans that salvation was first for the Jews and then for the Gentiles. You see, Jesus has not yet started his ministry to the Gentiles. His priority is still on the Jewish salvation. So he tells her, first let the children be fed. First let the Jewish people be saved. For it is not right to take God's chosen people's salvation and give it to others first, the dogs. Now, Jesus isn't calling her a dog to insult her either. He is speaking in a way to make a point. However, Gentiles often were called dogs. They were considered these unclean wild dogs that scavenged the city streets. And the Greek word for that untamed feral animal was a kuon. Kuon. However, Jesus uses the word kunarion, which means little puppy or family pet. So, you know, he's speaking in, you know, the family pet. He's not calling her this mongrel, this mutt, but he's comparing her to a pet in the house. And he said it's not right to feed the animals before the children, telling her that as a Gentile, she has no legitimate expectation of his help at this time. And she seems to understand that. She gets it. And she says, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table." Crumbs here represent the overflow of God's blessing. She knows that God blesses the Jewish people, and she just wants a little bit of that's falling on the floor. And Jesus, I see him smiling. "All right," he says, "you got it. You got it. You understood what I was doing." And it pleased him with her wit and her faith. But to me, it showed something else as well. It showed this woman's humbleness, her humility. And that's what I want us to notice this morning, this woman's humility. "Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble." I want you to think about this. Think about if someone called you some type of derogatory name. A dog, even. Something that you have been called your whole life, and you know that it's bad, and they come up and they call you that. Do you think maybe you would get a little riled up with that, and maybe your pride would step up, and maybe you would want to give it back to them? You know, a someone who wasn't as humble might have retorted back, "Why, you arrogant, self-righteous Jewish pig." That would have been the equivalent, the equivalent insult to back that up. But she didn't. Instead, she said, "Yes, Lord," meaning that she agreed with the status that she was given compared to the Jewish people, a dog, a family pet. She agreed that she, as a Gentile, did not have a claim to Jesus' being the Messiah. She knew that she was not deserving of the blessing that Jesus had to give, and yet she approaches him with courage and enough faith and grace, and not even for herself, but for her daughter. She's asking for grace, that which she does not deserve, and she knows she doesn't deserve it, but courageously she asked anyhow. "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble." Now, it's important to note that when she agreed with Jesus' statement about her, she was not humiliating herself. She was humbling herself. She did not say, "Yes, Lord, you're right. I am a lowly, unclean dog, unworthy of anything or your attention," and then puts her tail between her legs and scurries off into a corner. She didn't do that. You see, humility is not self-deprecating. It isn't even about oneself. And most often, a truly humble person doesn't even know they're humble. And that appears to be the case with this woman. And her humbleness and faith impressed Jesus. And he granted her request, and he released her daughter from the control of the demon. Now, what made this woman so humble? Was it desperation? She believed that he had the ability, so I'm not going to insult him? It may have been some of that, but I also think there was faith involved in this. Even though she was a Gentile, even though she worshiped idols, somewhere she found enough, she believed enough that Jesus could heal her daughter, that she sought him out when no one else was. And that enabled her, that faith enabled her to not become offended when Jesus made that statement, but to be humble and to listen carefully to his words. And in humbly listening, she was able to recognize the allegory and the wit that he was using and wisely responded and received the thing that she was requesting. I think we would do well to learn from this woman and more often hold our tongues and remain humble before God. "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble." But you know, many times when God doesn't answer our prayers the way we want to or in the time we want to, we get upset about it. And now we start getting angry about it and we start yelling at God, "God, why?" And we start telling God how it's going to be. "Well, this is how, you know, da, da, da." We do that, don't we? We get upset. We want things our way. And what we really should be doing, like this woman, humble ourselves before him, and just say, "Yes, Lord, I agree with your assessment." But then, with that faith, just go forth boldly and put forth our petition again. Now, if we can't really relate to this woman, then perhaps we can relate to our Lord himself. At the end of our lesson today, we were told that the people were amazed with Jesus. Verse 37, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." Have you ever known someone that whatever they touched or whatever they did, it just turned to gold? Like they could take a shower under a manure spreader and come out smelling like roses. You know anyone like that? That's what the people thought of Jesus. There wasn't anything he couldn't do and do well. You know, he's smart, he's miraculous, he's educated, and the mothers must be like, "Jesus, marry my daughter." With all that, those accolades and all that praise and all that attention, it would have been so easy for Jesus just to fill up with pride and drink all that in like a fine wine and become intoxicated with it. I mean, this song could be his theme song. "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way." Because he was, right? Jesus was perfect in every way. But he did not claim that song. He did not say that. He remained humble. Paul tells us in Philippians 2 that we should strive to be like Jesus and do nothing out of selfish ambition, but in humility consider others better than ourselves. We don't put ourselves up here. Let's put others up there. Let's raise other people up. In verse 6, Paul says in Philippians 2, he says, Christ being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. And he did this voluntarily. He set aside his godly traits and became a human servant, even being obedient unto his death. And in verse 9, we're told that because of his humble obedience, God raised him up to the highest place and gave him a name that is above all names. Because he was humble, he was raised up. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble. My friends, if you want to get God's attention, if you want to receive God's grace, if you want to be raised up, then humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself and let God raise you up. Jesus remained humble and God raised him up. This Syrophoenician woman remained humble and God raised her up. He put her on an equal level with the Jewish people by answering her request, by giving her what she asked. And if we are humble, God will raise us up. For as 1 Peter 5:5 says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives the humble what they do not deserve. So have faith that God's ways and answers are best. Be humble and accept what God gives you, and you will be raised up. And when we're humble, well, that'll help us to be grateful. And when we're grateful, then we serve others and God. And when we serve others and God, then we love one another as Christ has loved us. My friends, choose this day whom you will serve.